Amen. We want to be able to say that. We can sing it, but it doesn't mean that it really reflects the true state of our soul. And remember, our soul is where our emotions are, our intellect, our mind is. That's where our soul is. But we get a clue that even in that song, that how do we get to the place where we can genuinely say, it is well with my soul. And we get there because, as the words say, through it all, my eyes are fixed on you. And see, that's the key to breaking through in this area of worry and anxiety and fear. And that's where we're just going to take a few minutes to talk about that. But you know, it's not enough to talk about it. What we need to know is, what is the solution to it? How do we go from a person who is concerned about everything, which then graduates to being worried about things, and then which graduates to really moving into a state of anxiety? Well, it's as we focus upon Him, as we focus on the one who has saved us, as we focus on the one who has redeemed us, as we focus on the one who is transforming us, changing us from the inside out. But in order to be changed from the inside out, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we have to surrender. We have to give in to Him. You know, a lot of us want to be believers. We want Jesus as our Savior, knowing that if anything happens to us, we're going to go to heaven. But the phrase is Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the concept of Lord means that He is the sovereign King over your life. And kings, of course, isn't something that we're familiar with as Americans. But the point is that a king is the one who tells us, or tells his subjects, if you will, what is right and what is wrong, and how to proceed in life. God knows what's best for you. In spite of what you think, in spite of how highly intelligent you are, God knows what's best for you. God knows what you need, and God wants to provide what you need, maybe not what you want, but what you need in order to live victoriously in this life. One of the things that we have to come to grips with is we have to learn that we can't believe everything that we think. Now, that may seem like a strange statement to make at the beginning of this, but the truth of the matter is, some of us have thinking that is just so warped, you know, just so. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. I know you look at me and I look like a somber, serious person. You have no idea what's going on inside my mind. I mean, I am a crazy guy on the inside, you know. But the thing is that I think crazy things. My wife knows, because sometimes I'll share with her some of the crazy thoughts that I have. You know, if I told you some of the things that I thought, you'd probably run out of this room screaming. My point is, we all have those kinds of thoughts. You know, we all have ridiculous thoughts or silly thoughts, but we're able to discern what is just a fanciful thought and what is serious thought. Well, the reality is that fear and anxiety and worry trades upon the fact that we have thoughts, but if we're not discerning, if we're not careful of what we think, we're liable to fall into that place where everything that we think is true. Listen, I have bad news for you. Everything you think is not true. One of the greatest things lessons that I've had to teach even Pastor Carl over these last 20 years is that just because you think it's so doesn't make it so. Because he would say, well, you know, especially when it comes to government regulations on the church and things like that. And he would say, oh no, that can't be, that doesn't make sense. And I'd say, well, you don't understand. You know, when you're talking about laws and the legal profession, it doesn't have to make sense. It's what is written. And it's what is written that determines how people will interpret things. Well, we need to have the mind of Christ. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says that we have the mind of Christ, but what we need to do is engage that mind of Christ that we have. And one of the greatest enemies of joy and peace in our life is this thing that we're going to talk about right here. No, not this picture. Some of you have no idea what that is about. But some of us of the older generation, the older persuasion, may remember that there was a comic book called Mad Magazine. And in that comic book was the so-called editor, the featured man, and his name was, how many people can remember his name? Alfred E. Newman. That's exactly right. You're showing your age. But nevertheless, you know, the byline, the slogan associated with Alfred E. Newman was, what, me worry? And see, in a sense, as a Christian, that needs to be or become our attitude. Listen, your father is a creator of this universe. What are you worried about? Now, I realize that there's a transition that goes from intellectual understanding to actually beginning to work it out and live it out. But God has given us instructions in the scriptures to help us deal with some of those issues. Jesus said, don't worry. Jesus didn't say, hey, if you can help it, don't worry. He didn't say, I suggest you don't worry. He didn't say, well, these are one of the options, you know, one of the rules. No, no, he said, don't worry. He said, don't worry. I have got it all under control. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 33, just prior to that, you know, Jesus is talking about the things that people worry about. People worry about the clothes on their back. People worry about the house over their head. People worry about the finances and relationships and all of those things. And then Jesus comes up and makes this statement in verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue him. Pursue him. Enter, you know, engage in your relationship with him. You know, he is not that little red box on the wall of your house that says, in case of emergency, break me. No, no. He wants to be engaged. He wants to participate. He wants to be part of the process of your life. And it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His kingdom is in you. That's what the scriptures say. His kingdom resides in you, but you have to learn how to engage that kingdom that is in you. And then he says, if you seek kingdom first and his righteousness, what does he say? All of these things shall be added to you. The things that you need for life and godliness will be added to you. The things that he talks about preceding verse 33, he says, I'll give it to you. But the only way you're going to get there is if you are in a place of peace and joy rather than worry and anxiety. Verse 34. Man, here's a truism. Jesus says, listen, seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness. I'll take care of everything else. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next month. Don't worry about next year. Why? Because tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, you got stuff to be concerned about today. Now, it doesn't say worry about those things today. It's just that we have genuine concerns for life. But when you enter into worry, you're going into an area that's going to lead to anxiety, and anxiety will lead to confusion and blindness. You won't be able to see correctly. You know, I shared a story this morning, and when I was about 14 years old, I lived in southern New Jersey, grew up in, you know, I feel like Opie, you know, on what's the name of that show? The Andy Griffith Show. You know, I mean, that's the kind of life I lived. We go to the railroad trestle, and the railroad trestle had a stream which opened up into a pond, and that used to be our private swimming hole. You know, boys only. And we had a rope, and we would, you know, swing on the rope and then let go and just have a grand old time. Now, my cousin Andy, who was about 2 years younger than me, was a city boy. So he came, and we took him to the trestle, my brother and I. We went swimming, but he wanted to swing on the rope. So we let him swing on the rope, and he's swinging and swinging and swinging. I said, let go. Okay, he's swinging, he's swinging. I said, he says, I can't swim. and it's deep, you know. You could not walk out of there. It was a deep, you know, trestle. And so he let go, and he, just as he said, he couldn't swim. He started floundering and you know, going down, head popping up. And so I jumped in to rescue him. You know, he went from concern swinging on the rope to worry on the rope to anxiety on the rope to absolute panic when he hit the water. And so when I went to rescue him, you know, I kept saying to him, just relax, relax, relax. I'll get you out. But instead, what he tried to do is climb on top of me. I don't know if you've ever tried to rescue someone that's really drowning. They want to get up. And if you happen to be there, they'll get up on top of you. It was frightening for all of us. Long story short, Andy made it. Got him to shore and so on and so forth. But the point is, what I want to illustrate is that when you go too far in this sequence of concern to worry to anxiety to panic, you can't make good decisions. It's impossible. As a matter of fact, you're almost guaranteed you're going to make the wrong decisions. We are entering into a season of high anxiety over the month of December. You know, with gifts to purchase, the right gift to purchase, who to give gifts to, who's not going to get a gift because they didn't give you a gift last year. You know, there are all these the kinds of decisions which, for a lot of people, not too big a deal, but for some people, it just drives them to panic. Philippians 4, 6, 7. This is not a suggestion. Jesus says, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. So when you begin to worry, you need to check yourself. When you begin to move into that state of anxiousness. Now, what's the difference between worry and anxiousness? When you become anxious, what happens is that your body, your pituitary gland, releases a hormone to your adrenal glands. You get a little biology lesson here. Remember, I did teach science in high school. And your adrenal glands then release adrenaline, and all of a sudden you go into what's known as the fight or flight mode. You know, your heart rate increases, your breathing rate increases, the blood moves away from the extremities, and you know, you get cold. Some people will begin to shiver and shake. And it's all due to just the excess amount of adrenaline. But if you do that over stuff which is just simply imagination, then you can see that that can be very destructive to not only to you physically, but it can be destructive to the relationships that you have around you. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But he doesn't say just don't do it. He says, but this is what you do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, oh my goodness, what we want is peace. That's what we need. When you are moving in the peace of God, you see clearly. The right decisions become apparent. But the peace of God, which surpasses all, and I'm going to add this, human understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. And so what we do is we make a decision. If I'm not going to worry, then I will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I don't want to move into anxiety, then the moment that begins to move upon me, I will turn to him and begin to spend time in prayer and supplication. Someone said, our anxiety does not come from thinking about the future, but from wanting to control it. Listen, you cannot control it. There's very little that you can do to control the future. Very often what we want to do is we want to control other people. You know, I learned very early in my marriage that I cannot control my wife, Dee. I tried. One time she hit me with a vacuum cleaner rod, you know, in my attempt to try and control her. True confession time. No, you don't want to hear the whole story. We don't have time. No, really. We have something that I think you're really going to enjoy in just a few minutes. But really, you know, when we worry, it's usually about others. If we're concerned, you know, it's usually about others. And when we move into anxiety, it's because we're afraid of what someone else might do. Who's in control? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves, listen to that word, torment. People who live in worry and anxiety live in the place of torment. Come on, you know it's true. I know it's true. Listen, I've been there. I've done it. And it produces nothing. All your worrying does not change anything. All your anxiety doesn't change anything. All it does is causes confusion, a lack of joy, and a lack of peace in your life. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And then to Timothy, of course, a familiar scripture, we use it all the time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is a sound mind? A sound mind is one that is able to make good decisions. Not only has he given you power, dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit, he's given you the agape love in your heart to be able to love others unconditionally, but he's also given you the ability to make good decisions. You cannot make good decisions if you're in a state of panic or anxiety. In John 14, verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Jesus is speaking. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. You see, when you're in that panic mode, you're not thinking about what you learned about Jesus. You're not thinking about what the scripture says about a situation. All you want to do is fix the problem in your own way. And then he says in verse 27, the key, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, his peace exists because his helper is in you. But if you ignore the prompting of the helper, if you ignore the direction of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're not going to find any peace. You know, it's just the way it is. Worrying is using your imagination to create something you don't want. You know, ponder that for a moment. You know, it's a cliche, it's pithy, it's you can say, you know, but it's true. It's true. Corrie Ten Boom, some of you know who she is. She was a very well-known figure back in the, probably up into the 90s. I think she died in the 90s. But Corrie Ten Boom said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. That's a Christian, you know, Christian author and speaker and truly a powerful woman of God. There's truth to all of that. You know, there's a reality. Let me just close with this. Anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you very far. A day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work. It'll just simply wear you out, bring you to a place of despondency, a place where, you know, Jesus could show up and you would never even notice. But how do we break that cycle? Is that when we recognize we're moving into that place, we turn to Jesus. You know, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through worship, whether it's fellowshipping with other strong believers, but whatever it takes, it could be getting into the Word itself. But, you know, there is a plan, there is a strategy that you can apply to your life, and you need to recognize that anxiety is not of God. Worry is not of God. Concerns are natural. We're concerned about things, but when we move over into that place of worry and anxiety, then it indicates that we are not, it's a hard thing for me to say, but we're not trusting in God. Because when you trust in Him, you really don't worry. You know, I had a real quick example. I always take more time than I intend. But a real quick example, I had a situation this week working on software programs, which I like to do. I got an error 500. Anybody know what an error 500 is? I didn't know either. You know, and that was the problem. And all of a sudden I realized that I'm not going to make certain deadlines. I had certain plans. I'm going to have to relearn this language. I'm going to have to, you know, and I got all caught up, and I went from just simply being concerned, you know, what's an error of 500, to beginning to worry, and then I stopped myself. And I said, listen, I'm used to wanting to solve the problem myself. But I know people. And I know Jesus, and I knew I had a Christian friend, a Christian acquaintance. And I say acquaintance because he charges me for his advice. He's a computer guy, and he figured out what my problem was. And what would have taken me days, if not a week, to figure out, he did literally in about 30 minutes. Why? Because I was able to make a clear decision. Had I got into panic mode, I would have tried to figure it out myself. I would have stayed up all night. I'd be talking to you about computers this morning instead of what God said to me. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you. You know when it's happening. You know when it's coming on you. You know if you have that disposition or that personality. And when it comes on you and when it begins, you need to make a decision. I'm not going down that road, because my worrying, my anxiety will solve nothing. But Jesus is the key, is the answer to every problem I may have in life. Amen? Come on, can you agree with me? Can you give me an amen? Amen. Let me pray with you then as we seal this. And then I have one more thing I want to share with you in about 3 minutes. Lord Jesus, we just ask for a willingness, Lord, on our part to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. A willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to bring the scriptures to remembrance, the words of Jesus to remembrance. Just a willingness to accept your plan, to embrace your ways, and to abandon the ways that we've tried to solve problems in the past. Lord, we ask that when we begin to worry excessively, or if we move into anxiety or even panic, Lord, that you would prompt us and you would cause us to turn around and seek you first. Lord, we make a decision this morning. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to just interrupt us, Lord, when you see us going in the wrong way. Remind us of this message this morning, that worry and fear and anxiety is not part of my inheritance, but love, peace, and joy is what you desire for me. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless each person here. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.